This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada in the U.S. at ZenCon 2015. And my special guest is Mr. Taylor Lovett. Say hi to everybody, Taylor.
Hey, everybody.
Taylor, you work with a friend of mine, Mr. Eric Mann, at a company called TenUp, and y'all do some awesome things with WordPress at scale.
Yes, we do.
Large instances of WordPress, and I'm a big fan of WordPress. I think I've got 6 or 7 sites of them, but none of them could ever be considered at scale. But I know enough about WordPress to know that that's got to present some interesting challenges. With any project, it would, but with WordPress, I know you've got some interesting issues. Talk to us a little bit about some of the problems that you run into with WordPress in the enterprise scale and how y'all overcome them.
Sure. So that's actually what my topic is on tomorrow. Best practices for WordPress and enterprise. One thing to kind of consider is what is enterprise, and that's a definition that I think varies widely.
Okay.
Between a lot of people.
Define that for us.
So for the cases of my talk and what I'm thinking about, I'm considering enterprise to be websites that receive massive amounts of traffic, websites that have a lot of stakeholders involved, websites that have really complex integrations with third-party APIs, websites that have very large teams working on them. I guess the most prevalent one is the amount of traffic a website receives. So we actually work on WordPress websites that receive millions of page views per day. Sometimes tens of millions.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's big time.
We work with a lot of big publishing companies. One of the bigger ones is ESPN.
Oh, okay.
And we're actually behind the Grantland blog. We're behind 538 blog. And we deal with a lot of interesting challenges on that side. And as far as WordPress, I guess the challenges that we deal with is ensuring that our code is both performant and secure. And WordPress, I think, in the community has gotten a bit of a rap for security issues and performance issues. And I could go on a very, very long rant about two of those, both those topics. But WordPress does not come with caching. WordPress is caching agnostic. So when you set up a WordPress site, and especially when an enterprise, you get to choose your caching solution, and WordPress provides the APIs for you to implement it. So one of the challenges and one of the things that we do with these enterprise WordPress sites is ensuring that caching is properly set up, ensuring that the code we're writing takes full effect of that caching. And that's something that my talk will really dive into tomorrow.
Okay, let me ask you, because I've used WordPress and several of the caching plugins. Do you have one of the regular plugins that is your favorite? You might not be the ones that you'll use on the large sites, but you're somebody who understands this. Do you have one that is your favorite?
So typically what we do is we use a Memcache drop-in or a Redis drop-in, depending on the system situation that we have. That being said, TenUp also it's a full service agency, so we do provide hosting and systems as well, but certain clients have certain systems needs. So we either use a Memcache or Redis drop-in, which just makes available an object cache via one of those backends. And then we will use something, a page caching solution, like Batcache is a very popular one that's by Automattic. So if a page is requested this many times per minute, then let's cache the whole page and avoid any database queries. So it's pretty basic, but that strategy right there enables us to deploy sites that receive millions of views per day. And this we're just talking about the PHP side here. Obviously, there's CDNs and system stuff and a lot of things that go into it, some of which I'll be talking about tomorrow. But short answer to your question, we don't really use many of those off-the-shelf caching plugins because they contain a lot of features that we don't need, and they provide a lot of options that we don't want our clients really touching.
Yep. And that's been my experience. Right now, I've got my server tweaked, and some of my sites use some caching involved. But my problem with most of the big plugins is, you're right, there's just so many options. They try to do everything, and it's like, I just need the basic stuff. You know, I don't need all of those. W3 Supercache is a wonderful plugin. But I mean, it's an afternoon just to get it set up, you know.
Exactly.
And then if you haven't got a benchmark before, and then you tweak and, you know, constantly benchmarking, then you never know if what you're doing is really making a difference, you know.
Yep. And one of the strategies that I'll be talking about tomorrow in my best practice for enterprise talk is just keeping it simple.
Yeah.
And reviewing all third party code, and that's something that we like to do.
That's very important. Sure. And of course, WordPress is designed for those people that honestly aren't qualified to do that. And they're not saying anything bad about WordPress users, but most people that use it aren't developers, and it's designed for that. But that is so very important that somebody has taken a look at this code. I mean, I know I am guilty of just throwing a plugin in and then a week later realizing, oh my God, it's doing something that I did not know it would do.
Oh, yeah.
And I've also reviewed some of them before I put it on. I'm like, nope, there's no way I'm putting this on there. You know,
yeah.
If you don't understand the basics of filtering input and escaping output, that plugin's not going on my system.
Right. I think there's two major crowds of PHP. There's the community side, and the WordPress community is massive, and it's one of the biggest PHP communities there is.
Absolutely.
There's like 40,000 community plugins just on WordPress.org that are free, and there's a huge marketplace for premium ones, but a lot of those things aren't geared for enterprise, and an agency like 10Up, kind of, we're consultants and we work with our clients to make sure that the plugins and the third-party code that they're using on their websites suit their business needs,
and that's an incredible value add. It really is. We've talked a little bit about WordPress, but you actually work on another open source project on your own called DocUnit. Talk to us a little bit about what that is, and make sure to tell us where people can get a copy of it.
Sure. So DocUnit, the URL is docunit.io.
Okay.
And what it is a containerized continuous integration service built on Docker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technology very similar to Travis. So you integrate it with your GitHub repository, and it runs and tests your software when you push code and when you merge pull requests and stuff like that. The technology is completely open source. It's free. It's just available on the web, and it is based on Docker. So the motivation behind the software is, in the WordPress community, we like to make sure our code is compatible with a lot of different versions of PHP, for better or for worse.
Right.
And to do that can be tricky on your own machine. If you know anything about PHP Unit or some of these testing frameworks, it's hard to test things across different environments.
Yeah.
And what DocUnit lets you do is it lets you run, it's a utility you run locally on your computer. You add a file to your repository called docunit.json, and you can define the containers that you want to test your code in.
Hmm.
And you can use pre-made containers, you can write your own, but it essentially lets you run your test suites across a number of environments that you define, and it's distributable, so everyone on your team can run the same tests. And docunit.io offers that as a fully sort of continuous integration service. You can integrate that with GitHub.
So now this is technology agnostic. So it'll work with PHP Unit, but it'll also work with Ruby or JavaScript or anything else, right?
Right. And thank you for mentioning that. The document itself is written in Node, just because I think that Node is kind of the easiest package to install on your computer, just my personal developer opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's pre-made sort of containers for Ruby, Python, Node, PHP, Java, anything you can want to test, you can do with DocUnit.
That's great, because I know a lot of our listeners are polyglot programmers, and you know, while we love PHP, our jobs require other things as well. So it's nice that there is a solution that will work for many of the technologies that we're using.
Absolutely.
One last thing, you are a guitarist.
So I am.
Did you start in high school and form a band, or did you just pick it up? Are you classically trained? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So I picked up a guitar in high school. My dad was a musician, and I got really into acoustic fingerstyle guitar, which
Ooh,
is a
nice
style of guitar where you play the the bass line, the melody, and the harmony all at once. And that kind of developed into a jazz blues thing, and that's kind of what I play nowadays, and I really enjoy it.
Very cool. I was talking with a previous interview here at ZenCon, and we were talking about the connection between developers and music. Because in the very first community I was a part of was the Foxpro community, and at our conferences, Microsoft or Foxpro would rent a bar in the hotel, clear it out, it's just us, they'd put instruments up on the stage, and then as attendees would start arriving at the bar, you'd see people just walk up and pick up the guitar and start playing. A drummer would walk up and start doing a lick. We'd have pickup bands,
right?
You know,
that's great.
2-3 nights a week, and it was just awesome. And it always struck me from that point on the connection between developers and music, and there just seems to be a real tight integration.
I've actually seen talks about that at conferences,
really,
sort of examining that relationship. Actually, at our last 10-up meetup, which we had in Boulder. We did that very thing. We rented out a bar, rented out some instruments, and just had fun. So,
well, I hear great things about 10 Up. I know Helen works with y'all, and Eric, who I've interviewed previously. Helen, I'm interviewing in D.C. in November, and I'm looking forward to that. But every time I turn around, I hear great things about 10 Up. Y'all are doing some very interesting. You're solving some very interesting problems. And for developers, man, that's the brass ring that everybody's grasping for. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. First, I have to ask, and I didn't prep you for this, so you might not know the answer. What's your local PHP user group, and what's the URL?
The local PHP user group is DCPHP, actually ran by somebody who's here, Sandy.
Oh, yeah, Sandy runs it. Yeah.
I don't know the URL.
That's okay. We will find it. We will put a link in the show notes to it. If you're in DC, are you going to be at PHP World with us?
Most likely. I was there last year, and I'll probably be there this year.
Looking forward to it. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant, and thank you for everything that you're doing. You know, 10 Up is doing an awful lot, and I'm seeing more and more 10 Up people showing up, like at ZenCon and regular PHP conferences, and I love having friends that are doing WordPress, because I've been using WordPress since 2005, I believe, and love it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the community has always just been a little, I don't want to say standoffish, that sounds rude, and I don't mean it rude, but they've been very siloed.
Sure.
And I'm glad to see that there are people starting to break out of that, like yourself, like Eric, and go to these conferences, because we as the PHP community need to learn the lessons that y'all have learned. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.